glad to be able to be here and share some with you today. What do you know about Jeroboam? If you've read through your Kings recently, you might know quite a bit. But it's pretty easy to miss some. But there's some good lessons that we're going to look at from his life a little and learn some lessons that apply to all of us. Of course, the scripture says that those things that were written before time, speaking of the Old Testament scriptures, were written for our learning, that to give us hope and comfort. In 1 Kings chapter 11, we pick up and we find out and we first learn about him. And it says, "And the man Jeroboam was a mighty man of valor, and Solomon, seeing the young man that he was industrious, he made him ruler over all the charge of the house of Joseph." So over the northern tribes, Jeroboam gets made king. What kind of man was he? Well, he was mighty. He was strong. He was industrious. And he was trustworthy. He got put in charge of some things. He was a trusted, good young man here, we find. And so there he is and is doing good. And he's put in charge of some things in the northern area of Israel, especially the house of Joseph. But what's happening in Israel? At that time, Solomon had been drifting away from God. Now, of course, the scripture was rather clear. It's for everybody with God's plan for marriage. It was one man and one woman till death do us part. And that was the way God set things up, and that's the way it should always be. But what happened? Solomon violated one of the scriptures that said about kings that they should not multiply to themselves wives, and he did. And some of his wives were very ungodly, and they turned his heart away from God. And he had started making some idols and things to worship other gods and strange things and wrong things that God had said, don't do it, no one. And he had done it. So, Does sin go unpunished? Well, maybe for a time, but eventually it catches up, and things were catching up here. And so Jeroboam's out in the field in verse 29 of 1 Kings 11. It says, "It came to pass at that time when Jeroboam went out of Jerusalem that the prophet Ahijah found him out in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they two were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces and said unto Jeroboam, take thee 10 pieces. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel." Oh, so you might be looking there and think, oh, there was 12 tribes, and Jeroboam is going to get 10 of them, and Solomon's house, or Rehoboam, his son, is going to get one. But that only adds to 11. Why was the one tribe not mentioned? Well, you have to go think back just a little bit. After there was Joshua, and then there was the judges, and then it goes to kings, right? So this is, and late in the time of judges, what happened in the tribe of Benjamin? They allowed a bunch of wickedness in there. They allowed a bunch of immorality and really bad stuff in there. And they were letting it go. And so judgment came on the tribe of Benjamin. And instead of being many tens of thousands, what happened to them? That tribe got cut down to only a few hundreds of men left. And that was it, because of their wickedness. So they hardly got mentioned here. Now later on they would build up when they turned back to God. But because of the allowing the wickedness, the tribe of Benjamin was hardly worth mention at this point. It was so small, it became almost nothing because of what they had allowed to go on there and because of the judgment that it had came on them. So though Benjamin was with Judah, it was like, you know, it was like this big kind of thing. It was little and nothing. And so, and that's what happened there. And of course, then God tells him why, and because how he'd made the other gods and how he turned away. He said, but because of David's desire to live for God, his heart to follow God, he was going to allow there to keep one, because that's who the Christ was going to come through, and that's what was going to happen with that. So in when the prophet is talking to Jeroboam, he talks to him and he gives him some very important guidance and directing. After he told him he was going to leave a tribe to David, in verse 37 he says, and I will take thee, speaking to Jeroboam, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shalt be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken on to all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built for David, and I will give Israel unto thee. So here Jeroboam's given a promise that things can go good for his house, that he would have a sure house, that he would be blessed, and everything would go good. But there was an if with it, right? Now, he was told he was going to rule with that, and it would be in charge of it, and everything was going to be under his hand in Israel. He was going to be there. But if he would follow God, if he would hearken and listen — what does it mean to hearken? It means listen with the idea of doing it. It's not just hearing what God said, but it implies obeying and doing it. And if he would do that and walk in God's ways and do that which is right to keep his statutes, then he says, I will build for thee a sure house. Your family will be blessed. You will go on. Your children will reign in this kingdom, and it will go on being good. Jeroboam received a really good promise of long-term blessing, of long-term house, of things that would go good. But there was an if with it. And what would happen if he happened? So, well, word about this happens, right? It gets out. And so Solomon, who's backslid at this point, he starts thinking he should kill Jeroboam. So Jeroboam flees to Egypt and goes down there to hide for a time, and is down there hiding in Egypt. And so he's there, and some time passes. Solomon dies, and Rehoboam, his son, is the natural one to take the throne. And so what happens? Rehoboam goes to Shechem to be made king in chapter 12, and he's going to be set up there. And what happens? Oh, the other people, they go call Jeroboam, because they said, we want him back. We trusted him. He was a good guy. We liked him. He was a good guy. And so they sent and they called him. And Jeroboam and all the congregation of Israel came and spake unto Rehoboam, saying, thy father made our yoke grievous. Now therefore make thou the grievous service of thy father and his heavy yoke which he put on us lighter, and we will serve thee. What is this yoke they're talking about? To put it in real simple modern day terms, it was taxes. Solomon said, I got all this stuff to take care of, and I want all this stuff, so pay up. I need tax money. I need more. You guys need to pay up and give me a little more. And do the people like being taxed? No, that's not very encouraging. People don't like to have their hard work taxed and taken away, and maybe they work real hard, and if it gets to be too much, everybody can handle a certain level, right? Now, you might find this just a little interesting historical fact. When my grandpa was a teenager, right, there was no income tax. None. There was no income tax. And when they started it out, people weren't too happy with it, but they could tolerate it. You know what they started it at? 1%. 1%, that when it started in the teens there, some of it started at 1%. Now they didn't leave it there, of course, and it's been gradual. And so, but this Solomon had raised them pretty high, and people were getting grieved. So they come to Rehoboam and said, lower things down, take it, be easier on us. Let us buy a little easier. Don't make us work so much for you and all that. So what happens? Rehoboam goes for counsel, right? And he consults with the old men. And it says, which stood before Solomon, his father, while he yet lived. And he said, how do you advise that I answer this people? And here's what they told him. And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and serve them, and answer them, and speak good words to them, then will be they be thy servants forever. It says, if you talk good and you let them go easier, they'll follow you good. It says, but he forsook the counsel of the old men which they had given him, and consulted with the young men that were grown up with him, which stood before him. These guys that grew up with him. How old was Rehoboam here? He was in the early 40s area. So the young men were in their 40s. I always kind of used to think that was middle age, but now I think that's young men again, so I agree with his conclusion of this, that was young men, those guys in the 40s. And he said, they said, here's what they said, but the young men, they said, thou shalt speak unto this people, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, make thou it lighter on us. Says, and then he's, they're real rude, saying, my little finger's going to be thicker than my father's loins. I'm going to be really hard on you. I'm going to tax you guys hard. It's going to be, you're going to have to serve me good. And so Rehoboam goes with the young men's counsel. And what do the people say? Well, they're not very happy with that. And over in verse 16 of chapter 12, he says, so when all Israel saw that the king hearkened not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse. To your tents, O Israel. Now see to thine house, David. So Israel departed to their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned over them. So he had the tribe of Judah and a little bit of Benjamin that there was. And King Rehoboam sent Adoram, who was over the tribute. What's that mean? It means he was the top tax collector to go get money. Rehoboam sent him up to Israel to collect up, and what happened to him? It says, and all Israel stoned him with stones that he died, and Rehoboam wasn't far behind. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get up to his chariot to flee to Jerusalem. Oh, this isn't very good. They're not going to accept me here anymore. There's a little bit of a revolt happened, and it was serious, and so what did the northern kingdom do, or the 10 tribes? It says, it came to pass when all Israel heard that Jeroboam was come again, that they sent and called him unto the congregation and made him king over all Israel. And there was none that followed the house of David, but the Judah only. So the 10 tribes, they went with Rehoboam. Huh. Think about, that's just what the prophet Ahijah had said was going to happen. Exactly fulfilling what God had said, right to the word. Remember, he tore up the garment, said, you take 10 pieces? And that's exactly what happened. Jeroboam is all of a sudden, he's, wow, God's word is true. Just what that prophet said happened exactly like he said. And they came and made him king, and everything was just right. And everything was, looked like it was going to go good for him. But what happens? Jeroboam, he doesn't quite keep doing so good. And here's what happened. And the Lord actually tells us his thinking and his reasoning. You ever wonder why sometimes people do certain things? It's like, why'd they do that? That doesn't make any sense. Well, here the Bible actually tells us what his thinking was that caused him to do some bad things. Verse 26, it says, and Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go up to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people turn again to their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made 2 calves of gold and said unto them, it is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. So here what happens. Jeroboam, first thing he does that's wrong with this is he gets afraid. He starts getting worried that he's going to lose the kingdom. Now, what did the prophet tell him? He should have remembered that and paid attention to God's word there. He said, "And thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desirest, and shalt be king over Israel." And you have 10 tribes, and you're going to be king over them. And that's what's going to happen, and you're going to rule and be king. But he started doubting what God had said. He started getting afraid that maybe this won't happen. Maybe God's word isn't going to be true. And he started doubting what God had said. And so then he starts thinking, and if a person starts doubting and believing something that's not according to God's word, what happens? It leads them down wrong, to make wrong choices. It leads them to think wrong. He started thinking wrong. And what did he come to for a conclusion? So he thought, okay, so the people were supposed to go down and worship at Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. And that was right. And they should have done that and honored God and the house that was built there to worship God and serve him. But he said, they'll turn away from me if that. And so he got afraid and worried for his own hide instead of being concerned with what God had said. And so he gets counsel, he visits with people, but what kind of counsel is that? And so he makes these 2 golden calves and he sets up another altar and he sends out a word that says, "These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt." Have you ever heard that before when you've been reading your Bible? Why, Aaron made that same evil mistake. He set up 2 golden calves and he set them up and said to Israel, "These be thy gods." And what happened? God's judgment came. When Moses came around, what did he do to the golden calves? He smashed them to powder. He just burned them up, destroyed them, wiped them out, threw them in the water and said, "Drink it." It's just, that was a bad thing. And here they're doing the same thing. But you know what? Israel, at this point, follows it. And it becomes a sticking point. Well, doesn't take too long. And what does God do? God sends a prophet up to give them a chance to have a change of heart and to turn. It says, chapter 13, "There came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel," where one of the golden calves was, and Jeroboam was by the altar, and he was standing there to burn incense. And the prophet comes up there, and he cries against the altar and tells some things that are going to happen, how another king is going to come long before Josiah was born, and how he's going to destroy it. And he gave a sign and saying, "Thus saith the Lord, the altar shall be rent and the ashes that are thereon poured out." And it came to pass, when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God, which he cried against the altar in Bethel, that he put forth his hand from the altar, saying, "Lay hold on him." And what happens to his arm? It dries up. It sticks and doesn't move, and he can't move. And he realizes, uh-oh, this is a prophet of God. And what happens? Meanwhile, all of a sudden, the altar in front of him breaks apart, and the ashes pour out, just like God said was going to happen. And he says to the prophet, "Would you pray for me that I can have my arm back? Because he can't move it. It's stuck." And so he prays for him, and God lets him have his arm back, and everything becomes okay with that. But what should Jeroboam have done? He should have, at that point, he should have repented and said, "This is wrong. This altar is broken apart. Let's destroy it. Let's destroy those golden calves, which are just a lie and a false thing, and turn to God." But you know what? He doesn't do that. Jeroboam keeps those calves going. He repairs things. He has a feast set up to try to imitate the Jewish worship feasts. And he goes down the wrong trail. And that trail brings a lot of trouble in going away from God and in following the things that are wrong. He goes the wrong way. God had promised him a sure house, a good kingdom, things to go on good. But what happens? Jeroboam, in that if God said, "If you follow me, this is what will happen," he doesn't. Jeroboam goes the wrong way. He goes his own way. And all of a sudden, he has a problem. he has a son that he really cares about that gets sick. And this son, he's worried if he's going to die. And what does he remember? Oh yeah, Ahijah the prophet, the one that told me I would be king. He should know something. And he'll find out. So he tells his wife, he says, disguise yourself so nobody will know that you're the wife of Jeroboam. And go down to Ahijah and bring some nice gifts and ask him about this son that's sick. About, now, you know what the son's name is? The son's name is Abijah. And don't get it confused with Ahijah the prophet, right? So sometimes the names are pretty similar. And if you're reading through the Kings, this is just a note of when you're reading through your Bible and them, you have to pay attention to whose son is what, right? Because sometimes there's kings that have the same name in the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. There's a prophet Jehu and there's a king Jehu. But you can keep track of those by just paying attention to whose son it is. Once in a while, they use names that might confuse you. If I said that Bill was something, would you guess that, what would you guess his real name was? Probably William. If I said there was Dick, some was somebody, you might say, oh, it's Richard, right? And there's a few of those in the Kings too, with like Jehoram and Joram. They're one and the same. They're things just like if I said Jim was doing it, you might say his name was James, and you'd know that. Well, that's kind of, there's a few of those things in Hebrews that you have to in Hebrew that you have to pay attention to. Anyway, back to Abijah is sick, Jeroboam's son, and so he sends his wife down there, and the Lord tells him what's going to happen, and who's coming, and so. And you know what? Ahijah had another thing going against him. He was getting pretty old. And what happens when people get old sometimes with their sight? The Bible tells us that his eyes were set by reason of his age. He was getting so old he couldn't see good anymore at all. He couldn't hardly tell anything. And so she comes to him. And when she comes, it says, when Ahijah heard the sound of her feet as she came at the door, he said, come in, thou wife of Jeroboam, why feignest thou thyself to be another? Why are you pretending to be somebody else? And he says, I'm sent to thee with heavy tidings. He said, go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it to thee, yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments and followed me with all his heart to do only that which was right in mine eyes, but has done evil above all that were before thee. For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. And I will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam, as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat, and him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat. For the Lord hath spoken it. Arise thou therefore, and get thee to thine own house, and when thy feet enter into the city, the child shall die, and all Israel shall mourn for him, and bury him. For he only of Jeroboam shall come to the grave, because in him there is found some good thing toward the Lord God of Israel in the house of Jeroboam. So all of a sudden, Jeroboam's promise to a good, secure house, to a family, to a lineage, to a good, all kinds of extended blessings, they're gone. Jeroboam had made his choice. He said, I'm going to follow my own way. I'm going to make other gods. I'm going to follow other things. I'm not really going to pay attention to God's word. And why did he start down that trail? Because he got afraid. He doubted God's word. He thought, maybe it won't come true. Maybe they'll kill me. He had a wrong fear that led him to wrong actions and doubting God's word. And what happened to that? It made his house completely destroyed. He had one son start to reign for a little while, and then another king came up and killed every last member of his household. Anybody that was his son or friend or relative, kind of, he got his whole house wiped out because he disobeyed God. He rejected what was true, and he went the wrong way. You know, sometimes we might think, well, I'm not a king or anything like that or anything that. First off, all of us have influence with some people, and we need to be wise in what we do. Another thing that could happen is, could we be tempted to fear and doubt what God says? Do you know what, we can be. In our world today, people don't like the idea of what Jesus said when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man comes to the Father but by me. Some people think that's kind of narrow. But of course, Peter preached that clearly. In Acts 4:12, he said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If we doubt what God says and say, well, maybe there's some other ways, what could that do to future people that follow in your steps or that are around you? If you think there's many ways, well, they might think they might find another way. But that's not going to happen, because there is no other way. Sometimes we might be tempted to fear and doubt what God says about right and wrong. And the culture today is sometimes wanting to quiet down anybody that says that sin is sin, anybody that says that right is right and wrong is wrong, and what God says is true. They don't like us. But you know what? We don't need to be afraid one bit, because what God says is always true, and it's always going to be right. And if God says something is sin, it's sin. If God says something is right, it's right. And we should follow God in everything and not be tempted to doubt or turn away from things. Jeroboam, he was a good young man. He was industrious and hardworking, but he got a fear and a doubt. And what did he go down as? He went down as one of the worst kings. Not only did he wreck his family, but his sin that he did caused Israel to be wiped out. In 2 Kings, when Israel is being destroyed, this is about 210 years later, when Israel is getting hauled off into captivity. And I'm going to read from chapter 2 Kings 17 and verse 20 and for a little bit there. It says, and the Lord rejected all the seed of Israel and afflicted them and delivered them into the hand of the spoilers until he had cast them out of his sight. For he rent Israel from the house of David, and they made Jeroboam the son of Nebat king, and Jeroboam drave Israel from following the Lord and made them sin a great sin. For the children of Israel walked in all the sins of Jeroboam, which he did. They departed not from them until the Lord removed Israel out of his sight, as he had said by all his servants, the prophets. God had said what was going to happen if they turned away from him. And so it happened. Now in Israel, in the northern kingdom, there were some better kings that got rid of some evil, and sometimes they'd get rid of the Sodomites, and sometimes they'd get rid of the Baal worshippers, and they'd do, but they couldn't beat this sin. The sins of Jeroboam, they kept following. They left those golden calves, they left people worshiping these wrong things, and in the northern kingdom of Israel, the 10 tribes, they couldn't beat these because of his precedent and the wrong thing. And when you read about Jeroboam through most of the kings and you hear him mentioned, you know what it always is? It's not he was an industrious, good, trusted young man. It's he made Israel sin. He doubted God. He turned away because of that. May we never doubt what God says. God's word is always true. You can trust it. If you're reading in your Bible and you see that what's true, don't doubt it. Believe God. Trust him. You know what Jesus said and how he's the only way to be saved? Don't doubt it. Don't turn from him at all. Put your trust in him. Follow him. When you know what's right and wrong, don't pretend like something's not right, that something is different. When the world says, accept our wicked lifestyle, you say, sorry. God says, that's sin. That's wrong. Sometimes it's hard to know how to respond and how to act with certain people, I admit that, but say, you know what? God says this. And if God says something's right, it's right. If God says something is wrong, it's wrong. And we know that God's word is true on everything, and you can trust it in everything. Is judgment coming someday? It is. to Jeroboam's house, it came pretty quickly because he turned away from God. Every one of us is going into eternity one day. If Christ is your Savior and you're forgiven, you're going the right way. If you're thinking, oh, there's other ways and I'll be okay and I kind of believe in God, you know what, that doesn't cut it. Real faith is when your life is trusted to the Lord Jesus Christ and you put your trust in Him, you get forgiveness. If you don't and you think there's lots of other ways, you're thinking wrong. That needs to be adjusted. There's one way that, like Jesus said, and our trust needs to be in Him. He's the only one that could die for our sins because He's the only one that never sinned. The rest of us, we're all guilty and need His forgiveness. Well, we just bow for closing prayer here with this. And if if you haven't trusted Christ, why don't you make sure that your faith is in Him and Him alone? Or if you've been tempted to be fearful and doubt God's word, decide, Lord, I'm going to stand for You. I'm going to go with Your word. Lord, I thank You for these examples You've given us through Scripture and even examples that we need to make sure we avoid and reasoning that we need to be careful to keep out of our lives. I pray that You would just help us to completely trust You and Your word in everything, knowing that it can never fail and that You're always right and true. Thank You for caring for us and wanting the best for us and for Your good promises that if we follow and obey You, we'll certainly be fulfilled in the good side too. And we thank You so much for that. In Your name, amen.